Track 6, 10 Minutes With. Welcome to 10 Minutes With. And this week we have pulled an interview with established British horror writer and film producer Clive Barker.
How do you get your inspiration to write these sort of things?
It's just in my mind most of the time. Not just horror stuff, but imaginative stuff of any kind, really, of any persuasion. Weave World, the new book, is not a horror book, it's a fantasy book, but it overlaps with the horror material in the sense that it's full of the weird and the wonderful. And I feel like that's always just been a part of the way my mind worked.
Mm-hmm. Was you like this as a child, perhaps? You know,
Yeah. Oh, absolutely like this as a child. I don't ever remember a time when there weren't as many unreal things going on in my head as there were real things. My mother will say that as a kid I was not only sort of a loner and a bit of an outsider, but I was also somebody who made his own friends created them out of thin air. I think what happened was I never gave up the habit. I just turned those intimate creations into literary creations. So in a sense the books are full of people that I know as well as I know my friends, which is they're my creation.
So they're actually based on real life people, then?
Sometimes. More often than not, they're combinations of elements from people I know, plus they're obviously a large and thoroughgoing streak of the fantastical. I mean, I don't know any werewolves. I'm sure they're around, but
I don't know one or two.
No, really? Yes. You must go to different bars to me.
What I was actually wondering about was, have you always been interested in horror and the horror side of, the horror side of life, basically?
Yeah. I think actually everybody is interested in forbidden subject matter of one kind or another. And I think that it's the forbidden which is being addressed in a lot of this material. This is horror fiction tends to be taboo fiction of one kind or another. It's dealing with the taboo of death, obviously. It's dealing with the taboo of madness, with the taboo of sexual obsession. It's dealing over and over again with the things that you're told you shouldn't think about, or at least not talk about. Your subconscious throws them up all the time. I mean, dreams are full of images of fear and ecstasy. But they tend to be the only places in which we're allowed to express those feelings. Now, I've always been the kind of guy who, if somebody told me to look away, looked. If somebody said, that something was forbidden or disgusting or obscene or whatever else, I was interested.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm alone in that. I think one of the best ways to sell a movie is to try and ban it. Because people are interested in the material which they're being told they shouldn't look at. And so, as I say, I don't think that this early and thoroughgoing preoccupation with the forbidden, with the horrific, with the sexual, is anything particularly unique to me. I just admit it.
What do you actually think about censorship?
Okay, obviously, in a society which was, in the perfect state, if you like, in Plato's perfect state, there'd be no necessity for censorship. People would be allowed access to whatever they wish to see or read, though in fact in our society we are allowed pretty much access to whatever we want to read. In movies, clearly this isn't the case. There are all kinds of political pressures, I think, as much as aesthetic or moral pressures. I think they're, every bit as much to do with what the government thinks we should or shouldn't see in movies as to do with what the church thinks we should or shouldn't see, for instance. But there are those pressures which prevent us seeing all kinds of material. We are, just as a sort of sidebar on this, the only country left in Europe in which hardcore is forbidden. Now, it's always struck me as being extremely strange that visual representations of an act which must have introduced us all to the world should be forbidden. I said, this is ludicrous. This is comical. What a sort of pathetically neurotic view of sexuality, that you can't look at the pictures. It's so dumb. Now, in a sort of sense, there are societies, there is a social responsibility to keep certain images from children.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be recognized and accepted. Particularly where the video market is concerned, this therefore presents a great problem. I wouldn't really want Hellraiser being viewed by a six-year-old. I mean, I was an imaginative and I think reasonably mature six-year-old, but I don't think my mind would have really made much sense of it at the age of six. And I think it might have actually have given me a lot of things to think about which I couldn't really deal with. So I think clearly keeping horror material from the hands of children, keeping erotica from the hands of children, I think is an important social function. I think it would be the mark of a civilized society. To keep it from adults is the mark of an uncivilized society. So, paradox. You know, the fact is we all know that that six-year-olds can work videos. They are very simple things to work.
Fucking use a video, I'm sure six-year-olds.
Absolutely, I feel exactly the same. So, you've got a problem. I'm not sure that you can rely upon parental guidance or parental overseeing in these circumstances. And I'm not sure I have any answers to the problem. All I do know is that there are lots of areas where a kind of deep-seated hypocrisy creeps into all of this. So that, for instance, we are allowed representations of Rambo blowing up countless Russians in
Rambo 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
exactly.
9, 10.
Actually, I think Rambo 3 was such a financial failure in America there won't be a 4, 5, 6. And I think we should all thank whatever gods are available in Los Angeles for that.
You spend a lot of your time actually in America, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And recently, with Hellraiser
yeah.
and Hellbound, you actually did the direction as well, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Not with Hellbound, I was executive producer on Hellbound.
Oh, don't you?
And I will be executive producer on Hell on Earth, which is Hellraiser 3.
How do you actually direct a film like yours, for instance, with special effects sort of involved in one of these movies?
Well, I think it's just a question of actually the simple practicality of trying to make the image look as real as possible. And given the fact that the stuff which makes these monsters, the latex and the prosthetics and so on, need to be lit in certain very complex kinds of ways to make them look real, it puts extra pressures not just on the director, but every bit as much on the cinematographer, and to some extent on the actors too, because playing against a latex mask, or playing from behind a latex mask, can be very difficult. Doug Bradley, who plays Pinhead in the Hellraiser movies, manages to project something very strong through 5 hours of makeup, and I think that's a very singular and special talent. For the director, the thrill of it actually is to make the unreal real.